For most people, the most amazing part about this gospel passage that we just heard is the fact that when Jesus called these simple fishermen, they dropped everything immediately, left their livelihood behind, and followed him, when they really had no idea where he was taking them or what would become of their lives. And indeed, we could spend some good time reflecting on the level of trust that they placed in this complete stranger. We could also reflect on the encounter itself between Jesus and these fishermen. How almost magical it must have been to meet Jesus in person. But I'd like to focus instead on something that is perhaps a little more basic. And that is the fact that the call of Jesus compelled these men to act. They heard Jesus and they had to do something. They couldn't just continue as they were with the normal order of business in their lives. For them, becoming Christian meant that everything changed. And everything changed from the get-go. But I suspect that most people today associate Christianity more with belief than with action. It goes like this. Do you believe in God the Father who created heaven and earth? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus who came to earth, suffered, died, and was buried for the forgiveness of our sins? Yes. You believe in the Holy Spirit, God living amongst the church? Yes. Great. Pour the water. Slap some oil on the forehead, give you Holy Communion, you're a Catholic. Congratulations. Welcome to the church. Well, is it any wonder that so many people drift away from the practice of their faith when they feel like the only thing to keep them coming to church is a set of doctrines or rules, or maybe a bit of fear of what might happen if they stopped? Feeling this way is, I think, good evidence that the Christian faith has not had the impact on a person's life that it ought to have. I think a lot of people don't even consider Christian faith as something that has a huge impact. People say, well, sure it does, Father. Because I'm Christian, I try to be good, and I try not to do things, bad things that I used to do. Well, that's good. That's part of being a Christian, part of being a disciple. But there's something more than that. Jesus didn't take on our human nature, suffer, die, be buried, rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, establish the church, send the Holy Spirit down just to say, be good, don't be bad. We knew that before Jesus came. That's written on our hearts, to do what is good and to not do what is evil. So let's go back again to the gospel and take a look at Peter and Andrew and James and John. When Jesus called them, what did they not do? They didn't say, oh, hey, great, Jesus. Nice to meet you, friend. Oh, and from now on, when we're out fishing, we'll keep our language clean, and when we get into port, we'll give the people a fair price when we sell them the fish, and we'll try not to fight so much about where to cast the nets and what part of the lake to fish in. If they had remained fishermen, I hope that they would have, you know, been good and not done what is bad. But that isn't the point of the whole gospel. They didn't respond like that. Their response was, we got to do something. We're going to follow this guy. And because they stepped out in faith, and because Jesus' invitation compelled them to action, they went on to become key players in human history. So it's not just about conforming our whatever we're doing to be good and not bad. It's not just about saying, okay, Jesus, let me find a place for you in my heart. And it's not just about, let me see how I can fit Christianity into what I'm already doing. Yes, we want to conform our day-to-day life to goodness and truth. But Jesus, in calling you and me, wants to change the world. He wants to change our homes and our neighborhoods, our schools, our places of work. He wants there to be a profound and marked difference in the world because you and I believe. People might say, well, people's hearts just don't really get set on fire like that anymore, like Peter and Andrew and James and John. Have you ever been to a Seahawks game or a GU basketball game? People get excited about a lot of different things. They bring a lot of enthusiasm, and that enthusiasm urges them into action. You know, if they have work that needs to be done before they watch a game, they'll get the work done so that they can watch the game. There's a lot of different things that compel us into action. But then we show up at church and we go through Mass looking like our favorite cat Fluffy just got hit by a car. We're sad. We're downcast. And here we are encountering the God who made us, and the Savior who loves us and forgives us and wants more happiness for our lives than even we want for ourselves. So somehow it's not all adding up. Somehow we've maybe lost enthusiasm, or maybe there's some kind of an obstacle in the way that keeps us from experiencing the enthusiasm of Jesus' call that then prompts us into action. Some of us may like to blame our German heritage for being stoic and even-keeled and steady all the time. But we can't blame that forever. We have to eventually realize that there is something in the call of Jesus that ought to set our hearts afire. And maybe all we need to do sometime today, or maybe in the course of the next week, or for however long it takes, pray a simple prayer to Jesus that says, Lord, I give you permission to set my heart on fire with faith and charity. I give you permission, Lord Jesus, to tear down whatever boundary, whatever obstacle there is within me that keeps my heart from being set on fire for you. And I give you permission, Lord, then, to compel me to act, to step out in faith like those disciples did. Let's just pray that prayer and then see what happens.